Welcome to episode 60 of the Hellbound podcast. We're back again with filmmaker Ian Rayburn. We start this episode off talking about his Hellraiser fan film.
You know, I do a lot of horror stuff and I work with a lot of actors and they love getting covered in blood. And I always have to ask and just say, please don't post anything. You know, it was hard to not post when we were making the Hellraiser fan film because it was, you know, it all looked so great. Cool.
It was awesome, man. It was awesome.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. No, I'm really proud of that. I didn't know how I was even really going to do it. And I just had it in my head and then it sort of worked out. And I'm such a fan of the series and the character and the effects.
Look how it panned out. Like there were in terms of having the female centre-back, you know, in terms of the lead.
Well, and that's a wild thing too. Yeah. Like I remember reading the article and they were like, oh, and they can. I was
what we perceive as female anyway.
For sure. Yeah, no, for sure. And like the hell, you know, and I read the Hellbound. I mean, I love it, you know, obviously in like the novella and I think, you know, Clive Barker is also like a multifaceted talent with a lot of the stuff that he can do, but I even had like when I, you know, posting a fan film, I had people reaching out and telling me that I was stealing and, you know, it's like
what fans of
you watched it. Did you watch it? I made sure to put the and I think it's just some people a lot of people did like it. I'm very grateful. Of course, it has a built-in audience, so I did get a lot of feedback, and I'm still getting a lot of feedback on it, which is funny and great. But there is a handful of people that weren't happy that told me that
and
I was.
You got feedback from an icon from the original, right?
Well, Ashley Lawrence, I don't know if she, I hope she watched it. I did, truth be told, I messaged everybody involved with it on social media that I could, you know, like Anthony Hecox, like the director of the third one or his account. I don't even know these are real accounts. And the guy that directed the last three, I sent it to Ashley Lawrence and Doug Bradley, of course, and nobody messaged until then the release of the original. Maybe it was trending more and she was who even knows how any of that works.
I don't, and that's how I got very, very lucky with who the judges were that for the first.
It's incredible. Oh, absolutely. But you never know. And I mean, you know, to tie that sort of back into, you know, some positive mental health that I've really worked for myself. I mean, really, what's the worst that's gonna happen? Nothing, especially reaching out, you know, never know. And look at who you got for the festival, right?
Yeah, it was nuts, man. And then calling Joe Alves at his house, speaking to his wife, his daughter.
Amazing.
Just blew my
amazing.
Mind.
Blew I was, mind. I was,
I was so giddy. And then I watched a TEDx about how to interview people that are well-established.
The first
thing was, one of the thing was.
Really?
It was, just say something that's kind of personal, but they'll kind of open them up. And then I talked because I'd spoke. His daughter runs the Joe Alves official Instagram account.
Yep.
And there's a Kickstarter now to make this documentary about him because his production design is fucking legendary. Hitchcock, Carpenter, Spielberg.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I asked about his daughter and how nice it was to, you know, watch movies with his daughter because I know, and then I referenced the name and he fucking lit up. He lit up. And then when you watch it, and I asked, I think it's in the Hellbound interviews when I asked him about his daughter, and he was just so fucking happy. And then he talks about going to the cinema in like the 50s and all this other shit. And I was like, and you should have seen my notes then. My notes were like, and then the key, I'm not sure if you watched it, but the key thing was
I asked him
about the chandeliers on the cars. And he was so happy he got asked about that because you can, you know, no disrespect to Joe. He was an exceptional git judge, like so generous. He's retired.
Yeah.
So generous. And I love him to bits. He obviously gets asked the same questions all the time.
Of course.
And how many times, you know, can you say different answers? So it's very difficult. So I was really careful about, same with Alex Proyas, how to ask the question to get new answers. Yep. So I asked him about the chandeliers and he said, yeah, the production buyer thought that's the kind of chandelier I wanted. I wanted the dome to go inside the car.
Okay. Yes, I did. Okay. So I know I never watched, I for some silly reason, I forget you film, you record them as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I only listen to your podcast. I only listen to it. I never watch it. I forget theirs. So until you were telling that story, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember listening to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking exactly, about that. That's wild. Yeah,
and
man.
It was
that's
like, wild. She brought these things and they were completely wrong and they couldn't take them back.
So what
and then
the
they
fuck?
Had to buy 20 more because they were getting smashed up when they were going around. And it was like, he was so happy talking about it. It was like, he brings out props from Starman. Oh, and I was God. Like, my head was going,
wow.
And I was trying to control that, you know, that mega geekdom.
But you're not paying at a con to wait in line to go and get him to sign something. You're calling as an industry professional and a fan for a job, really. I mean, he's, you know, it's like, you know, I'm interviewing you as a part of the, as part of this festival, this, you know, and that's incredible, man. That's, it's, you know.
It was so much fun. And like my wife says, are you going to do it again? And it's very difficult because this year about work and, The thing with the people at Sudbury Indie Creature Convention, I'm going to ask them, and if I can get the films to screen as previews like a regular film festival in Bricks and Mortar Cinemas, then Film Freeway opens up like Pandora's Box.
Yeah.
It opens up like this. And you can be, if you typed in Horror Festival on Film Freeway, you're accessible across all of Film Freeway.
Yeah.
So the only way people knew about my festival was having a direct link.
Sure.
So that's my whole kind of, that's where the energy went. So that's my aim. If I can do it next year, I will. And even my sister-in-law, she's offered to put money into it for marketing or whatever. But the sheer amount of fucking submissions I'll probably get would be, it'd be just monstrous.
And you unlike other pieces of shit, actually watch all the movies.
Oh my God. Yeah. And
I don't know if you've ever, like, I did it. I did a tally on a short film years ago of the view count versus the amount of festivals I submitted to, then the decline, the not accepted notices and the viewer per declined ratio just didn't add up.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
But that's a business in itself. Film festivals are a business. It's a whole, you know, I mean, it's, I love it and they're legitimate and you do a legitimate one, you know, for fans, by fans, you know, proper communication. And again, I will say it's just you. It's not a group of people.
It was Nadia last time and Michael was more involved, but because his film, Hunting Darkness.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
it was like, how do I make this? Because last time we had cosplay and we had a cosplayer from Argentina who did an incredible Hell Priestess. And it was like,
I remember that too. Yeah, you had unreal. like little bits right in the middle, like
Yeah.
I love that. So, yeah, man.
Because it was me this time producing the whole festival, like, right, what do I do? What can I do? And then I saw Alex Proyas was talking about, because I've revealed on the podcast and spoken to you briefly on messages on Instagram that I use Midjourney for the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And
incredible.
It was like, okay, morally, I had to get past it in my head in terms of, I've used Fiverr, like for the podcast artwork, I use Fiverr for a lot of stuff. I've got artwork, you know, like I work with one particular artist from Indonesia. Mm-hmm. And he did the Hellbound. He's on Slayer Talk. He's done a bunch of stuff. And I can't afford to create art for every film. And do you remember in the Isolation Film Festival, I created those posters for every film?
Yeah, man, of course.
I was working with someone that was putting their time into it. And yeah, then they wanted to get paid. And I understood why they wanted to get paid after 30 films, because it was loads to do.
That's a lot of work. Yeah.
And then I thought, right, I don't know how many submissions I'm going to get. And it's going to be only for the officially selected films. Then I started looking at Midjourney, and Alex Proyas was talking about it. And the way he was using it, I go, in my head, I'm going to do this. I'll accept the moral kind of, you know, I felt queasy about it. And then I started looking. Some of the results are incredible, but I thought, right, I only want squares. And then some things are hyper-realistic and look, they're incredible mega pieces of art, like a proper concept art. And I thought, what can I do in time? And then when I started to produce them, they got better and better because of the way the keywords work and the commas all that shit.
I know and then zero of AI art. So even you telling me the program, I was like, what the fuck is
that? And it was like slowly started ramping up in terms of knowledge, people knowing about it.
Yeah.
And then when I created yours for Blue Devil, like, this kind of looks like Ian as well. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and every single one, and you know, I you know, was very grateful, you know, that we even got in, and then you made the poster. I couldn't believe it. It's like, well, I didn't have a poster for this film because I didn't make this.
Yeah.
With the idea that I would market it as a film for festivals or as some, you know, it just sort of became what it became. And so it's like, well, I would love to use this as the poster then because it's awesome. You know, you did. I had no idea. I was like, Alex, who's making all of these? Like, are you doing this? What is? How are you getting all these? They all look incredible.
And that's where I was stretched then. Like, everyone should know this. I'm looking at the camera now. I was living on fumes. My friend was seriously ill, has passed away now, and he was the same age or a few couple of years, literally 2 years older than me, in hospice. I've explained this to yourself, and it's public knowledge now. I posted about it briefly, and that's why I'm having a break from my main social media. Yeah. And and your film hit me at the right time, if I'm honest. It hit me at the right time, and it was and they just the conversation with your mom, because it was just it worked so well, and I think timing wise for everyone that saw it, they loved it. And then when I was like, yeah, this kind of looks like Ian, this is kind of fucking freaky. But there's no like minor alterations you can make in the artwork. It's such a interesting, it's a whole fucking new world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't even. What are your thoughts on AI art?
I'm really not a fan because I can't make those small changes.
Sure, yeah.
Unless you know, if you know the cheat codes on how to order the words and use specific phrases, you can get stellar pieces of art. But it's not like if I ask you to do a tweak on this edit and you leave the shot on the actor a little bit longer because you're expressing a feeling, AI editing, which will probably come in at some point,
sure,
it will not understand that yet.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So if that happens, I'm out of a fucking job.
Well, that's it. I know. it is wild, you know, thinking about, you know, like Terminator and Skynet. You know, always to talk movies and be like, they're going to come alive. But it's like, you know, in a realistic way, now this AI, art, and I don't know if this is real. I have no idea. But somebody had sent me, a friend of mine sent me this article, and it was this software that can scan photos, like social media photos, people posting, you know, from certain events or doing TikTok dances or whatever, and can scan where it is and then use the AI server to scan through video cameras or street stop sign recordings or whatever, to then find a video recording of that picture being taken.
Wow.
So if you're talking about that picture you took at the back of the plane, you posted that photo, you could run it in this software allegedly, and it would be able to, if it existed and there was a security camera or something live, it works really well for outside stuff. It could find a video of you taking a photo of that plane. Oof. Isn't that fucking crazy? If this is real.
I remember there was a scene in I loved CSI and CSI New York.
Okay.
Where there was like a piece of software that did that in the first season of CSI New York. And that was years ago, 2007 really? Or whatever. But it was obviously fake.
Sure, of course. But they thought about it.
There's a very specific moment in Enemy of the State where Will Smith walks into the lingerie shop and he's buying something for his wife, and he's got that shopping bag, and his friend, you know, Jason Lee, puts that thing in his bag, and Jack Black's like, oh, we're going to spin around the vertical, and he's like a 3D scan of the bag. Well, that's complete bullshit. But there's things now that can project these things, that can actually do those things now, like that thing in, like you just said about that. It was like iPads in Star Trek. You know, these things are...
Right, of course. Now. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's yeah, flip communication devices and video screen. Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah, it's all it's sort of happening now. And yeah, the AI thing, it's a little, I have no, you know, deep fake. I was like, oh, do they even need to have actors anymore? God.
Tom Cruise one is insane.
Well, right. Or do you just need people that look sort of like it? And then you can, you know, was it James Dean? There was some, I think it was a German movie. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but the director was like, I'm pretty sure it was James Dean as well, was like, he needs to be in this movie as a character. And so they deep faked him legit. And I don't think it was received that well, but I remember reading or hearing about that. Maybe I'm also completely fucking wrong, but I remember hearing that and thinking, like, as a filmmaker, oh man, like, I haven't even hit my stride yet. I hope it doesn't change on my way up. Then it's like AI actors or, you know, because I read a really interesting article about Terrifier 2 and all the craze around it and how one specific thing about why they thought it was so popular was also literally because it's 98% practical. And so you're not only are you seeing these super violent things, okay, but we're so used to seeing, even in horror movies, CG gore, CG blood, and then just CG effects, not even just superheroes and all that, but you know, CG modeling on backgrounds and reflections.
Smoothing of actors' faces.
Smoothing, you know.
I know someone that does that for a certain actress.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
So there you go. So that's like a job. And so with Terrifier 2, as that person said to me, I didn't know it was supposed to look so cheap. Well, it wasn't supposed to. It was, because it is a low-budget movie with a small crew, you know. But I think there's something psychological about people watching it where they're like, maybe they realize it or maybe not, but there's something different. I'm not used to seeing all this, and he's choosing to show me. So you're, you know, that is a, okay, that's obviously not a real dead body, but that's a puppet. That's a, you know, and we know, because we were fans of horror and fantasy movies and science fiction movies through the whatever 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, where it was all creature feature, you know, makeup, effects, props, costumes, puppets, you know, all that amazing stuff. And it's different.
Oh yeah, I'm so done with CG, and I've stopped going to see Marvel movies, not because they're bad, but I'm like dead into it now. Like you were saying about films in over the last decades, you look at a film like Legend. Yeah. Ridley Scott's Legend.
Worst.
Oh Curry. My God! Like, those horns would have been CG,
and the whole costume probably would have been CG.
And it was like there's not much CG apart from like the mirror effect when he steps out of the mirror with his
hoofs. Sure, but even that, you know, is of its. You know, you think of like Labyrinth, right? You know that. I think of all the puppetry and the practical sets, and you know, it's there's so much. Yeah, there's some of the, you know, David Bowie going in and out of the mirror, and you know, there's some wonky 80s visual effects. Great, bring it the fuck on too, because I love that. But you know, when she's talking to the creatures, they're really there, and you know,
that's Jim Henson stuff, man. And
oh
my God,
legendary! It's legendary.
Yeah,
and we miss a lot of that stuff, and I say that as somebody who uses a lot of CGI and FX, because I just don't. It's, again, I don't have the
budget. It's the budget. It's the budget. Yeah, exactly. Oh, one last comment before we kind of wrap up in a moment.
Sure.
Buddy. I love the effect of the cloth in your film Blue Devil. You know, where the in the box.
Oh, in the sheet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. It was the classic Conjuring gag.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me a little bit of, you know, this is the thing about the CG, and it kind of connects to this. When Kruger comes out of the wall in the first film.
Oh, yeah.
The latex or whatever they used, genius. Yeah. You see it in the new one, CG. Horrendous. So it reminded me of that a little bit in terms of the effect. And I was like, yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was really happy with how that came out. I had no idea. I've never done it before. and I was reading on the Reddit horror subreddit about cool jump scare moments. It was like a thread, and somebody said the scene in The Conjuring when she's doing the laundry outside and the sheet blows off
clothesline
onto a figure and then evaporates and blows away. And I was like,
yeah.
And so I tried to do it with myself. It's the only other person, and I'll give a shout out to my buddy Steve. One of my best friends. I love him to death. Not an actor, but he came and stood in as figure, because I tried to do it by myself. I don't even know what the fuck I was thinking. Impossible. Like, I had the hanging. It was a nightmare. And it just really came out. It looked really good. I was like, wow, that, you know, I always like when stuff happens and then you look back at it and you're like, oh shit, that.
It looks
good, actually man. Looks pretty good.
And my favorite edit of yours is when you see yourself outside and you're using your iPhone as a light.
As the light,
the step forward, it's the cut. It's that kind of classic Ian Rayburn shot, you know, the kind of 50.
Yeah.
And the wide shot when you step forward out, you know, towards you, and you go, oh shit, it's the speed of the edit and out, you know, inside and the trip. And,
yep.
Love that sequence, man. Really great.
Cool. Thanks, man. Yeah.
What was behind that? This is obviously, you know, it's not a spoiler or anything. What's actually behind that hole in the wall in the basement? Kind of under the house space kind of thing? Dude.
It's a swirling black portal that was telling me to film in there.
And, I was like, it's Candyman.
No, it's an unfinished part of the house. So literally like dirt and rocks and it's sick and my brother's. What's that?
Like Barbarian.
Yeah. Like exactly like that.
The most, we'll talk about this in the future, but why the fuck would you step down into that goddamn like ancient steps?
You know, it's one of those, it's I 100% agree with you. And I love that it gave you that reaction. Well. It's like, I love that movie. It was so fun.
Yeah.
And yet it's still, I don't even want to say suffered, because that's not even a bad word, because I loved it. It still had those classic horror movie tropes where I was like, doesn't need to. I wonder if he's just putting them in on purpose just because to make people go, because it's a really smart movie. And I was just like, yo, why the fuck are they... why are they going, you know?
Yeah.
And I sort of love that.
I love a fun movie. Much. Yeah,
and
the level of enjoyment in terms of that kind of genre. I loved Don't Breathe. I thought Don't Breathe. Stephen Lang is a fucking great actor.
Yeah.
And that movie, in terms of everything about it, and as soon as I started understanding the lore of Barbarian, and I couldn't remember where the fuck I'd seen the father from.
Richard Brake.
And it was like. The guy that killed Bruce Wayne's parents in the Batman Begins.
Oh, that actor, he's like that. Yeah, man, he's in all Rob Zombie movies.
He's terrific, man.
He was one of the, oh God, and fans are going to, if people watch this, do you watch Game of Thrones?
I've not seen the newest one. I did like it apart from the last season.
Okay, well, the original Game of Thrones,
So
like when the ice world came, I don't watch it, but I watched two episodes. The first episode, and I was like, okay. And then I just so happened to be with my brother when they're watching So when the ice creatures came, he was one of those too. He does a lot of creature effects work. He's got 100 credits. He's just a great, great actor.
He's got that kind of face Peter Weller. Do you know what I mean? He's got that vibe going on.
That character, except he's just not famous like Peter Weller in the sense that he does a lot of character acting roles. But who cares? That's still awesome. What a great career. Yeah. Like, I'm not shitting on him. I mean, celebrity is luck, in my opinion. You know, you can be a great actor, a working actor, and then just never get a big break. And then, you know, Alex Blackburn comes around with this cool little indie. Sure, whatever. We're not going to make any money, but we'll have some fun on it. And then it goes and, you know, gets to Cannes. You know what I mean? And now he's playing the lead in a dad role that he's never played ever. And now he's back on the money, right? And that's like, I love that as well. You know, like the kind of older Nicolas Cage, Mickey Rourke style, although Mickey Rourke sort of fucked it up, but.
He's gone.
The Wrestler was incredible, you know.
Yeah.
And again, Aronofsky, I love him.
I love him in Domino, that Tony Scott film as well.
Oh, Domino, yeah. Keira Knightley.
Tony Scott, legend. Absolutely. I was devastated when he passed away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that.
So yeah, you should have movies with you. We'll do it, man. We'll definitely make like a
start another like five different podcasts, and we'll just
cost too much to host on Podbean. So I'm winding up Isolation Film Festival page. So all the web pages from that and the stuff with Vance Burberry and the how I got those judges was awesome as well. And that's going to end up on alexblackburn.com or something about Mike, you know, like showcase stuff. And
absolutely.
So yeah, I'll end up doing another, like the shed I'm building outside is going to be a studio more than anything else. So
awesome.
It's going to be a podcast thing more than anything else. So
great.
But that's kind of like in the next year. But yeah, you should have the final art now for,
I saw that come in. Thank you so much again.
I used Gigapixel, Topaz's Gigapixel too. Okay. So it's like 10,000 by 10,000 pixels. So it's
massive. Oh, that's it. Jeez.
I am going to send you the print. I've still not done it yet. I'm going to try and do it soon because it's the final prize thing for
Hellbound. So grateful. I mean, it would be the second ever physical award
thing,
sort of prize, if you will, that I ever got.
Well deserved, man.
Oh, thank you so much, dude. And yeah, anytime you want to talk movies or anything, or
we'll work it out, man, because I
love it, and you just remind me a lot of stuff that I forget too, and you know, and I'm
full of verbal diarrhea, so we can just go on for ages, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, me too. And it's also like, hey, look, it's not like I'm, you know, going out every night and having these meaningful conversations with people. I'm storing it all out, brother. Like, this is great. This is so good for me.
I'll be picking your brain about, the thing I was supposed to shoot with my friend that's in the original version of Justice League. She got a few lines of dialogue in that.
Oh, she's really? She's
going to be in the short film I'm working on. And
I'm just really excited to see some
narrative
better, work.
Better look good, because I'm fucking putting so much effort into it.
Yeah,
it's got zero budget, short film. Well, yeah.
I can't wait.
But yeah, I'm going to pick your brain about that. And
of course.
But keep in touch, man, and look after yourself. And tell your mom she was great in the film.
I do every time. And I will tell her too.
I didn't say it back then.
I love that your wife loves it. That's my mom, genuinely has said that to me my entire life. When I used to wrestle, and she never watched me wrestle. I also did some pretty extremely violent wrestling, and she knew about it, but didn't really know about it. But before every time I wrestled, whether it was in Canada or America, I would call her when I had a cell phone, and she would say, "Be careful, you know, I love you and you're in my pocket." And she would say that to me. So again, it was just a happy accident, beautiful miracle that's just what she said. It's not like she says that to me all the time anyways now, you know. And
but it's such a kind of soft way, like, oh yeah, you can always call me. It's such a kind of throwaway thing to say, but
no, it just worked so well within the confines of the story she didn't know she was a part of.
I'm gonna use that tactic, but it's gonna blow over my face, I bet.
You have to be very, and I mean, I'm a horror guy, so a lot of what I film is technical. Right, so you have to be in on it because there's so many moving parts. That was one of the things I was like, I'm not really in a position, an emotional position, to have to want to direct or do anything, as well as I think I'll get a better performance with just having it be real. So, yeah.
The last thing I'll tell you about, this is completely off topic.
Great. Well,
do you see this is the wedding ring I chose?
So you've been playing with it, yeah.
So this is aircraft titanium from Canada. So this is made by a Canadian company. It was sent. It says "You'll never walk alone" on the inside, which is a phrase for Liverpool Football Club.
Okay.
And who's my? And it's kind of, you know, a thing between me and my wife. And this design, I don't know if you can see it close. You can't see it close. It's got like ridges in it.
Okay. Yeah.
And this is the same wedding ring that Ed Harris wears in The Abyss. Have you seen the? You've seen really? The Abyss. You know the
one, Cameron.
It's
of
not
course,
his, it's not his. It's not the one film, but he.
Yeah, I was just. My mind was just like, did you know that? Did you get Ed Harris's design? Really?
So basically, in the audio commentary of the DVD, because it's never been released on Blu-ray, Cameron changed that.
Yeah,
and I think Cameron talks about the company in Canada that made the ring for the film.
No shit. And you remembered and heard that.
I saw the screenshots.
Okay.
And then I remember that. And then I thought, right, you know, the Abyss wedding ring. And the company sells it as the Abyss wedding ring.
No way.
Screenshots, and it's the same web link from like, when did the DVD get released? What, fucking 98, 99, something like that?
Oh my goodness.
And then I found it.
They haven't came out with a newer DVD? Of the Abyss?
No, they haven't. No, there's no Blu-ray. There's no Blu-ray or
98.99. Oh my god!
Yeah, it was like when the first Blu-rays and like the Matrix came on, that click box.
Yeah,
it was around that same period. Yeah, so
you buy the Abyss ring. That's incredible.
And the funny thing is, you know how he throws it down the toilet?
Yeah,
because his queen bitch of the universe arrives. That's one of the lines from the film. That someone else says that line. And she's the designer of the underwater rig and all that shit. And it's a classic, great movie. He throws it down the toilet. He puts his arm in to get it back. And his arm's blue for the entire movie because it's a chemical toilet.
Sure. Yes. And, oh, my God. And he has that cleaner on him or whatever, right?
Yeah. He's the hydraulic doors like bulkheads on Titanic. Not quite the same, but it closes off sections so it doesn't flood. And he sticks his hand in the door, so the hydraulic door, and there's a real tight macro shot of the wedding ring because it's so strong and made out of this aircraft titanium. The door doesn't close, so eventually someone can come to the other side and there's water coming through, breaks the door open, and he can get through. And when I was, this is the funniest thing, when I was, I don't know if you've seen the pictures on social media, the fence, the mega fence I'm building.
Okay. Yeah.
Outside, it's like it looks like a Jurassic Park fence.
Okay.
Because it has to be 3 meters tall, which is massive.
Yeah, that's.
Pretty... I'm like 1.18 or whatever.
Why so tall?
Meters. Because there's the potential thing. Wheelchair access. My, you know, possibly we need in the future because this is the house we're gonna, you know, potentially live in forever.
Sure.
Because it overlooks the next door neighbor, even though we've got a great relationship. One of our neighbors caused a fuss. There's this whole thing with the council nonsense. And then we agreed to have a fence. So the fence has to be there forever now,
yeah.
Which is what we always wanted. She won't ever listen to this. But it's 3 meters tall, but it's made out of wood. It looks like Jurassic Park. You know what I mean? Because it's the scale of it's ridiculous. So, and when we were working on it the other day, the huge piece of wood lands on the ring and stops my finger getting crushed. Just like the fucking film.
Do they advertise on there? Like... Also,
no, I need to tell them. I need to absolutely tell them because it was like. But the thing is, if I'm ever in a serious,
it'll protect you too.
If I'm ever in a serious accident, and this ring gets ripped off, it'll take my finger with it.
Oh yeah, no, shit. That's,
you know what I mean? So, and it scratches everything. It fucking scratches everything. So if I'm like, you should see the nice porcelain sink upstairs. It's got a fucking big scratch on it. So I'm like, yeah. So anytime I work with camera gear, that comes off.
It comes off. Yeah. Wow. So, that's anyway. So wild. But what a story. What a wild. And
I know this piece of wood, this fence slipped and it just stopped on this ring. I was like, oh my God, what the hell? Yeah.
Power of Canadian ring makers.
I know. Yeah. They were so happy about it. And it was only like £85. And my wife's ring was completely different price. So yeah.
Yeah, but what a cool. Okay, but that's, you know.
But I was so happy with it. I'm a mega geek. Whatever. Yeah.
That's so you, right?
Yeah, it's so me, man. Yeah. The fact that I brought it up is so me as well, you know?
That's a great story. And it's movie based, and I love it. And you're wearing like movie memorabilia. But it's like also your life journey. You know what I mean? What a great way to mix like this hugely impactful thing positively in your life. And then also literally this.
It's crazy, man. Yeah.
Drop from a movie. This was awesome. All right.
Awesome, man. Really you take it easy and stay safe, man.
You too, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.